When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest.
Welcome
like
to hour two. We just gave away some Cubs tickets. Is Joe in there? Is that Joe in there?
Yes.
Joe. Okay, Joe, don't leave because this show's going on the road to Lake Charles. At the Gold Nugget, so I don't know if I'm going to get to ask you about Notre Dame Miami. So hang on. I want to see how you're feeling. What's the buzz coming out of the Irish camp? I'll get to you, but first, let's talk about this. By the way, if you didn't get the Cougs tickets, 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today, or go to uhcougars.com/tickets. We'll also be giving away another pair later in the show, the Cougs versus Stephen F. Austin. Okay. So it's college football time. We got games tomorrow to discuss. But let's hear from Brent Venables. Brent Venables is the head coach of Oklahoma. He is going through what you might call a bit of transition for the program. So let's hear how difficult it has been for Brent Venables to get this Oklahoma program to a spot that he likes.
So we had a lot to work through, and I chose not to, you know, ask anyone to leave when I first got here. Just let me give everybody a fair shot and just kind of see where we're at. And through time, you know, some players chose to leave. Some players just weren't fitting the bill when it came to going to class and living right off the field. As a football program, we had a lot of issues. You know, the first year, you know, we had guys weren't going to class. We had a 2.2 team GPA, and a lot of guys that didn't pass drug tests, a lot. So what comes with that? You know, lack of motivation, lack of synergy, lack of, again, ambition. There were some, you know, broken spirits too. And guys that maybe weren't confident on what we could become. So, you know, changing the mindset, you know, how we thought.
That's Brent Venables. What year is Brent Venables in at Oklahoma?
Sean? He is entering his fourth year.
So why is he talking like it's the second year and they had to weed out everything that was wrong with the program after year one? By the way, they went 6-7 year one, 10-3 year two, 6-7 year three. So it appears, as all those players who had broken spirits, who weren't going to class, the GPA stuff, left, you got worse, right? So why is the coach in, look, to be fair to him, I don't know the question. I didn't hear the question. But why is the coach who's going into year four of a program referencing things that happened before year one began for him or during year one? Aren't we, sure, Oklahoma fans are going to slander Lincoln Riley until they die. It's just what they're going to do. And anytime he messes up at USC, they're going to love it. But we're into year four. And I never like to give Urban Meyer any credit because he's Urban Meyer. He's got enough credit.
Rightfully so.
And I don't want to give him any more. And
Urban Meyer.
He's Urban Meyer, yes. He's Urban Meyer.
I don't want to give him credit.
Yes. He said, once you take over a program, those players are yours. They're not the last guy's players. They're your players. So I'm glad that Brent Venables saw the broken players, the bad GPAs and all those things and tried to fix it. But they're your guys. They're your guys as soon as you step foot on campus. You get the excuse from the fan base who's going to want to be positive about anything you do the first couple of years and say, that's Lincoln Riley's players. You know, all those players who won all those games. Lincoln Riley's players.
Yeah.
But now that you're here, things are going to change. We understand there's a transition. And while I believe that to be true, you want to set a different standard. We're going into year four. Why are we still talking about the past? Hopefully, everything that's going on in Oklahoma has been fixed, right? They're good, right? No more issues. Everything's set going into year four. Doesn't have any more problems. Everything's good to go as Oklahoma tries to bounce back from a 6-7 season.
By the way, Lincoln Riley, I can just go through his entire time at Oklahoma because it wasn't that much time. 12-2, 12-2, 12-2.
Bob Stoops' guys.
9-2.
Bob Stoops said that culture.
2020, 9-2. 2021, 10-2.
What was their last year?
What?
What was his last year at Oklahoma?
2021.
And what was his record?
10-2.
So the 10-2 team, all
turned
those guys
6-7.
Were broken and their spirits. And sure, I'm sure that could have happened. I'm just not sure what Lincoln Riley was doing to break all the spirits of some of these players.
He took the ones with intact spirits.
To Oklahoma? To USC?
USC.
Okay. And left the team behind with broken spirits.
It was just kind of like Caleb Williams.
And Mario Williams, the receiver.
Who ended up like transferring to Tulane.
Yeah, because he wasn't that good. Either way, enough Brent Venables. You're going in year four, buddy.
Yeah.
It's time to stop even referencing things that happened in the past. Be like Casario.
Yeah.
Or someone who's more present about what's going on today.
Be like anyone else.
Anyone else but that. And once again.
Casario's gone, whatever.
To be fair to him.
10 wins the last two seasons.
I did not hear the question, but it seems your presser going into year four, don't know why you're talking about the past when there's been three seasons since.
Yeah.
Okay, a guy who probably won't be talking about the broken spirits he had to take over because, you know, they've had success is Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. And, they made a national title game.
Yeah, let's not lose to Northern Illinois this year. They don't play them this year.
True.
Don't lose to Boise State this year.
Losing to Boise State ain't at the same level as Northern Illinois because they weren't even good in the MAC. But I get your point. You don't want one of those embarrassing losses where you're, three touchdown favorites or whatever it was. Understood. But he bounced back, didn't lose another game until the national title game. So you'll take it, right? You'll take that season. He almost killed Riley Leonard on that first drive, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he had the flu. Everyone was sick.
I mean, I feel like they ran him into the ground on drive one, and he barely survived that game.
Yeah, he was yakking on the sidelines.
But either way.
He's a gamer.
Yeah, okay.
He might be the best quarterback in Indianapolis right now.
It's not good for the Colts.
It's not good for the Colts.
Not for the Colts. But
I'm ready for like Riley Leonard versus CJ Stroud in week 14 or whatever it is.
Yeah, the Colts and the Texans don't play till later in the season, both their matchups. So who knows who the quarterback will be for the Colts. But we do know who the quarterback is for your Notre Dame Fighting Irish. It is CJ Carr,
mm-hmm.
the Nepo baby quarterback.
Whoa.
What?
He's at Notre Dame.
Yeah. Just because he's not at Michigan doesn't mean he's not a Nepo baby.
Michigan, he's a Nepo
baby. No, he's a Nepo baby.
He's the grandson.
Yeah. I don't know if you know how it works, but just you know what?
He won the job.
Dakota Johnson never worked on Miami Vice. Doesn't mean she's not a Nepo baby when
he won
she's
the job.
Don Johnson's daughter.
Doesn't matter. He won the job.
I'm sure.
It wasn't guaranteed.
I'm sure.
Yeah, if his name was CJ Smith, we wouldn't be talking about
him. He ran out Steve Angeli, who's going to be a bum at that school, Syracuse.
Yeah, the starter?
Those guys don't turn good quarterbacks around.
No. Hey, Kyle McCord got cut, okay?
Yeah. Well, he was in the NFL. Well, at least he got into a camp. Then he get drafted.
NFL. Yeah,
he's won like 10 games.
Yeah, Syracuse
honestly
has a nice offense.
I just have to start now because I feel like there's going to be some real tension between Paul and I this year. More tension there is going to be between you and me on Sunday.
I'm not even that tense because Mario Cristobal is my coach. I don't have expectations. I'll just see what happens.
You got Carson Beck.
Yeah.
Once again.
What happened the last time Notre Dame went to Hard Rock Stadium?
They beat Penn State, actually.
Before that.
Oh, when they actually played the team who plays their home games there?
Yeah.
They got their ass kicked.
When Mark Richt was the coach.
But there was one who's a part of either program now was a part of that program then. It's a long time
ago. What happened?
Yeah, when was that?
2017. It was a
there's a tweet by was it Miami Hurricane, like the actual Miami Hurricanes Twitter account, or maybe just a fan who was like, what happened last time Notre Dame? And those video and pictures of the 2017 game.
Who cares?
And it got community noted. Yeah. Like, well, the last time they played here was 6 months ago.
Two full high school classes ago.
Yeah, Marcus Freeman was coaching at Cincinnati.
Our graduating classes. Yeah, it's a long time ago. But it's a top 10 matchup. Notre Dame does not have a lot of success going down there, no matter who they're playing, until they beat Penn State last year. So, CJ Carr is your starter. Saw an injury report where there are multiple tight ends unavailable. I don't know their status on the depth chart. I don't know if, when Miami released theirs. Chris Ball's generally a guy who doesn't like that. The ACC now forces him to in conference games. Not sure he has to do it for an out-of-conference game. So who knows who Miami will roll out there. Who's suspended, we don't know. But how does Notre Dame feel about their team this year? Do they believe they're a CJ Carr good year away from being a national title team?
I mean, I think as long as CJ Carr doesn't, you know, become a turnover machine, like they're going to be in, they have a chance to be back in the national championship game again this year. They've got two of the best running backs in college football on their roster. You got Jeremiah Love, who, if he was on a different team, he would be a legit Heisman, like top like three guy. I think he still could, but if he's not, it's because they have Jadarian Price, who's really, really good as well. And they're going to split the carries and not put all of it on Jeremiah Love this year. So as long as those two guys stay healthy, I think that they can figure the rest out with a redshirt freshman in CJ Carr and be good enough this year. Honestly, to me, it's more... It helps because obviously Marcus Freeman's a defensive coach, but like losing Al Golden to the Cincinnati Bengals, their defensive coordinator, like I do think that matters a little.
I wish he was still the defensive coordinator just for all the hate that Miami fans would treat him with once he walked into the building. But yes, he's now the Cincinnati DC. He's certainly had a revival of his career, helped that, you know, turn Notre Dame into the defense that he did. What about your pass rush? I was looking at some of your guys on the depth chart. Not a lot of sacks on the resume. Do we expect that Notre Dame defense to use pressure to, or use blitzing to get after quarterbacks this year, or are they going to be able to do it with their front four?
I think they're going to have to try to do with more blitzing, at least early on. I mean, you've lost some key pieces. Now, I mean, your best cornerback didn't have last year either. Benjamin Morrison was out for the entire season, but now he's in the NFL. So you've lost pieces in the secondary. But they always just kind of reload and retool. And even without Golden, like you have to have faith in Marcus Freeman as the defensive coordinator, basically. I'm actually not even sure if he's calling plays or not. I don't think he is, but that they'll be fine, good enough. But I would expect to see more blitzing, especially because it's Carson Beck.
Well, he is bad against zone. He's a guy, so I would expect zone blitzing as opposed to leaving your guys man-to-man. Now, Miami has a boatload of new receivers. They lost a lot of production from the guys last year. Of course, Restrepo spent his time as an undrafted with the Titans. He was cut. The other guys, they didn't really have any great receivers. One guy transferred to Alabama. So it's a lot of transfers and maybe a couple young guys that they like. So there will be a certain acclimation period. You know, Carson Beck, I wasn't thrilled, but he was the best of not a great transfer class. So I understand why they gave him the money and got him in. He's experienced. If you go back to 2023, he was really good. Of course, he did have Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers.
That helps.
So we will. I don't think that Miami has anyone like that. We will particularly, unless one of the young guys kind of shows himself. So it'll be, can he figure out a way not to turn over the ball early, whether it be the Notre Dame game or just throughout the season? He's a guy who in SEC play last year, I think it was like 12 touchdowns, 12 picks. The numbers look okay because he lit up bad teams. But when you talk about conference play, he was not good. He needs to bounce back there. They have one of the better offensive lines in the country. They don't have the backs to the level of Notre Dame, but they got a couple backs. They got a guy from North Dakota State who's pretty good. He may be their third back, rushed over 1,000 yards last year. So the teams will operate differently because I think Shannon Dawson, their OC, will put more on Carson Beck's shoulders than they will for CJ Carr. As far as CJ Carr is concerned, that and the Notre Dame offense, the jokes for me are, no matter how good Notre Dame is, they're kind of always the same team to me. I call them turkey. Like, turkey's hearty, it's filling, but can CJ Carr make it Cajun spice turkey, deep fried turkey? Is he good enough to change the look?
We'll see.
Look, Riley Leonard took him to the national title game, but even Riley Leonard, there's a certain ceiling for what Riley Leonard's going to be able to do throwing the football, although he's on the NFL roster. Can CJ Carr and his wide receivers turn Notre Dame from, okay, this is the same Notre Dame I've always seen, into a team that's more in line with, Well, the team they lost to in the national title game, and where they got real dudes on the outside and a quarterback can get them the ball.
I mean, I like Greathouse and some of the guys that we saw kind of emerge towards the back end of the season last year, specifically in the college football playoffs. Like, I think that will help them, but it's still asking a lot. I mean, my hope this offseason for Notre Dame for CJ Carr was that he was going to run away with the competition. And it didn't really feel like that ever happened. They were going back and forth for a while, and that's a little discouraging to me because I wonder like what Marcus Freeman will do if like CJ is not good in the first half on Sunday night. Will he make a switch?
Think it was that close where he's not going to get a long leash?
I feel like if you're not that it opens the door for that when CJ Carr just can't just shut it and win it. I mean, honestly, I think Angeli probably would have won the job if he wouldn't have transferred.
Okay.
So, because I like Steve Angeli. Like, I do. I was giving a hard time. But, like, I think he's a solid quarterback. And, like, and there was a lot of times last year where it felt like the Notre Dame would have been better off with him at quarterback instead of Riley Leonard because he could throw the ball down the field.
And we saw him play under poise in that one or two series against Penn State?
I think it was just one series.
Yeah.
But he drove him down the field.
Yeah.
Like, he was in there for an emergency situation. He was totally fine. So, you know, if CJ Carr can push the ball down the field this year with the running backs you have, the offensive line's always good. They should be back to where they are. I mean, it's a brutal start to the season. Like you have two top 15 matchups to start the season. I like Miami this year. I don't know if they're a playoff team. We'll see how it goes. But then I told Josh Beard this. He was doing the show with me on Monday night, and like I really like A&M this year. Like I'm a big believer in Marcell Reed. So. It's two tough games to start the season.
Yeah, they have an off week between the Notre Dame Miami game,
and then they
go see A&M at home on September 13th.
Yeah. I despise that they don't have a game week two.
That's rough. Yeah,
as a fan, honestly, I just like it's the season starts, and then it pauses. Then the NFL starts, but then it starts up again.
Yeah, particularly it's two different ways to look at it. If you win the game, you feel great. You want to see them again. And if you lose the game, you want to get the bad taste out of your mouth and see what you can fix between the Notre Dame Miami game and the Notre Dame A&M game. So, yeah, Notre Dame's has a tough schedule, but Notre Dame always tries to schedule tough. It is nuts. If your name wasn't Notre Dame, you'd probably be out of the playoff picture if you lost the first two games of your season.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're Notre Dame and because of the ranking of the opponents, even if you did lose both, it'd be tough, but you can still make your way back in. Starting at 6, you're probably going to be a top 25 team if the disaster did happen. I hope they split. Look, Notre Dame playing A&M, you were the home of the Aggies. You'll hear that game here. But I think Notre Dame's got that one. At least they should win that game at home. Of course, I want them to die an awful death down in Miami.
That's fair.
On Sunday. We'll see how it goes.
So tomorrow you'll be playing the plus 2.5 for Miami?
You mentioned CJ Carr and barely won the job. I do want to see how a young quarterback handles that environment because Miami traditionally doesn't have a great environment, but it's like 40 years of hating Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
People have had all weekend to get drunk and get ready for the game.
There's like two games a year or two reliable matchups a year where like, okay, this will be a hard place to play. It's Notre Dame and it's FSU.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Even FSU, depending on how the season is going, won't reach a fervor. But because of all the history, the fact that they rarely see them down in Miami. Ian Book talked about it when he did a podcast with Jessica Smetana, who's a Notre Dame grad, and also who else was on it? Whoever she does the podcast with, I forgot who it is. I think it was maybe it was Mike Golick Jr. Either way, he talked about how that was the loudest place he had ever played in on the college level. And they went to Georgia, and he said because of how the stadium is built and the people and how much energy they have for that game, it was the loudest stadium he's ever been in. And he did throw a pick six, so I'm sure it got very loud when he did throw it.
We'll see. I mean, I know CJ didn't play last year, but I've never experienced anything in A&M. My life like I did last year at A&M.
Yeah.
Like going to that game. It was I loved it. It was awesome. It was so loud. So, and that game was ugly last year.
Yeah, it was not a particularly entertaining game, but Notre Dame and their defense smothered Connor Wegman. So we'll see how that game goes Sunday night. It's a big weekend. We will have A&M football, obviously. Are we having any more games this weekend besides A&M?
This weekend, no. Next weekend, we'll have A&M's second game of the season, and then we'll have OU Michigan. We're going to carry that
okay
too.
So another, well, OU's not in the top 25, are they?
Yes, they are.
All right, so another top 25 matchup, as long as those teams don't get upset in week one. And I will say this. Hopefully, for your sake, Notre Dame avoids what happened the last time they were down there playing Miami, where someone threw a bottle and it cracked the window in the bus, and then that led to the rest of the game. It started before they got into the stadium, and then, of course, they got their heads cracked in throughout the game. So that's a good omen. If someone throws a bottle and it doesn't break a window on your bus, maybe things go your way this time. I hope not. I know you hope so.
I hope I'm the only happy person of the three of us.
Why?
On Monday.
Why? You're rooting against Texas?
Yeah.
Okay. There it is. College football has begun.
We have beef because Sean stole my Notre Dame job in our college football video game.
So,
they never offered it to me.
I know they didn't offer it to me, Sean. So
rubbing it in.
I'm anti-Mapes right now.
So as you can tell.
You know what? No, never mind. I have to backtrack on that. Because this Ohio State thing is so soft with Dave Portnoy, I can't root for Ohio State.
I like it. I like the pettiness, to be honest with you. If you don't know the story, Dave Portnoy, big Michigan booster, Michigan grad, has helped Michigan secure recruits. And you know he said his things about Ohio State. They are banning him from the Shoe. Now, Ross Bjork, the former A&M AD, said, we're not banning him. The rule is for Fox, if you're not on the stage or part of that main crew who is part of the broadcast once they enter the stadium, you don't get on the field. You don't get in the building. That is what he's saying. He's saying it's on Fox. Mm-hmm. We're not banning him. I hope they are banning him. It's good.
It's soft.
It's fun. I don't want the Michigan honk in my building. That's all.
I kind of want to see the fans just destroy him.
That's a different thing. But if you're Ohio State, you're like, you're Michigan through and through. We don't want you making or sending tweets while you're in our building talking about how great Michigan is and how you guys don't beat us anymore. I understand all the pettiness. That's what college football is for. I welcome it. And if Dave Portnoy is going to use it to, you know, elevate whatever, I'm sure that's happening. I saw some people say this is good for Fox that this is an actual thing.
Because at some point, Dave's going to have to go on television and talk to Urban Meyer about being banned at Ohio State. It's good TV.
It's good for them.
I'm just glad Ohio State's focusing on the real issue and not that we got a red dot on them. We got a red dot on all 80,000 people that are going to be in that stadium.
I don't like that reference again. Arch Manning said, we're not the hunted. We're the hunters. And we put a red dot on everybody. That's how they're approaching the season. Good luck.
Good luck, Arch.
Good luck, Arch, in the Shoe. All right, we'll go to break. Payne, I see you. You want to talk fantasy football? Thank you, Joe. Hopefully, I'm happy. You're miserable, and I don't care how it goes for Sean, really. If he wins, cool. If he doesn't,
I'll take it. That's more positive than most people are.
Either way, I mean, getting me to root for Ohio State is never happening. So I'll sit and watch. All right, we'll get to Payne when we come back. If you want to follow him, 713-780-3776.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We'll get to Pena here, but this may be something that affects some of you when it comes to fantasy football. Rashee Rice, that suspension has come down. So the conspiracy theories about when he was going to get suspended, how many games was it going to be. He gets 6. The NFL was pushing for 10. His team won it less. Not the Chiefs, his personal team won it less. I'm sure the Chiefs won it less too. It winds up at 6, and it starts at the beginning of the year. So some people who thought that the league would make sure he got suspended for games that were less difficult for the Chiefs, they just said, no, the start of the year, take your 6, and we'll see you in week 7. So Rashee Rice, done for 6 games. Kyle Hamilton gets a new deal from the Ravens. So the moves are happening. Waiver claims had to go in by 11 a.m. Central, so we'll eventually start to see who was awarded to who and who starts to sign to practice squads because the transactions never stop in the NFL. But let's get to Pena here. He's got a fantasy football question. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Dale? Hey, so I got Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah.
I got him on my bench. And I was looking at that he hasn't signed his contract, his rookie contract yet. So I was going to – I don't know all about all that kind of stuff with the NFL. So is he allowed to play? And if he's not, should I drop him and pick up Dylan Sampson or Braylon Allen? Those are like the two best running backs that are still free agents. If you can help me out, you too, Sean. Thank you. Have a great day.
I have not done any fantasy football research. That will begin tonight and tomorrow as we do our draft.
Listen to a pod on the drive over.
Something like that. I mean, I haven't put that much time in. But he cannot play if he's not under the contract. So
no, but at the same time, the reason he didn't have a contract is because he was in a very precarious legal position. That has now been, I guess, taken care of. He won't be thrown in jail.
Correct.
So I would assume that he's able to sign his contract. But, you know, he didn't miss a lot of time preseason. Yeah. Like you said, they have another rookie running back in front of him, Dylan Sampson. So I don't know. It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world to cut him for, like, Braylon Allen.
And in
especially if it's PPR, Braylon Allen gets a lot of catches.
Yeah, and in the much-discussed preseason game featuring the Browns over the weekend, Dylan Sampson, I believe, started for them ahead of –
That's what made it much discussed, right?
Yeah. Yes, it was Dylan Sampson starting ahead of Jerome Ford. Yes, that made it much discussed.
They didn't give Jerome Ford a chance.
Yeah, poor Jerome Ford. How will he survive? And Kevin Stefanski, when asked about Quinshon Judkins today, no update on him as far as his status. So right now, not eligible to play for the Browns.
Do you think he's like, I should get a fully guaranteed contract like Jaden Higgins? And so they're just starting the whole thing over again.
Like, I don't know.
And they're like, dude, maybe you're going to be in jail.
You know what? Second round pick, 36th overall. If that is part of the discussion, I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
People just flipped the blinds and now they're just people staring at us.
Oh, cool.
Are those interns?
I don't know. Oh, probably, I think.
Just look behind you. You want to look behind you?
I don't want to.
You don't want to?
No.
Okay, Joe just opened up the blinds, and now they're looking into, looks like they're interns, right?
Yeah.
I heard my name being mentioned, too. Don't worry about me. Sean's the problem, if you guys can hear me. All right.
Untrue.
Pena, call me tomorrow after I've done my study.
Tomorrow's live from the Gold Nugget.
Yes.
Well, no.
I will have better answers.
Or do we need to play at KG for the draft? And
you know what?
We can't let people know what we think about Dylan Sampson and Braylon Allen,
I don't,
who are, by the way, available after the draft.
Yes.
We can't.
Yes.
Got to keep those cards close to
I don't best. Know that John or – I know John and Lance won't be listening.
No.
But as far as the guys who are competing against us –
probably not either. Let's be honest.
If they're probably not even on their way at that point to the Golden Nugget, if they decide to get one more workday in before they head down, or even if they're leaving early, they're probably working at 11 a.m. or whenever Payne is going to call. So I'll have a better answer. I don't know where Ollie Gordon is. He's an RB2 that impressed in the preseason. I'm sure he's available.
He's probably also available.
So if you're thinking about a back who may be the Dolphins' power back this year, with maybe Achane getting less carries because, you know, he's smaller. Want to keep him,
thank you,
keep
Tyreek
him healthy.
Hill.
Sure.
Tyreek Hill made that happen.
He makes a lot of things happen. Maybe Ollie Gordon is someone you look at as a back who is down to his Doak Walker award-winning weight. I saw that reported. He got heavier in his final year at Oklahoma State. He's now lost some weight, back down to that 2023 weight. He had a great year that year, had a great preseason, so maybe that's someone to look at who your league isn't really paying attention to as a guy who's going to get some carries for the Dolphins. All right, we'll go to break with that. We will give away another pair of tickets to the Cougs with Stephen F. Austin. We'll do that when we come back. But first, I want to talk to you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Simply put, if you need a plumber, that's the place you go. And let's be honest with ourselves, we don't know what we're doing. In fact, I don't want to have plumbing issues, and if I do, I don't want to fix them because I know I'm going to screw them up. That's why Aqueduct Plumbing Company is a place for you. If you got a problem, they'll fix it, whether it's a big job or a small job. They're equipped to handle it. So if you need something installed like a water heater, whether that be traditional or tankless, or even have it serviced, they'll do that for you. If you need a repipe done, those are big jobs. You need them done if you have an older home because those corroded pipes lead to dirty water. No one wants dirty water. It's a foregone conclusion when we go home. We just assume the water's going to be clean. You turn on the tap, the water comes out, you wash your hands, you wash your clothes, you take your showers. You expect clean water to come out of the pipes. Aqueduct Plumbing Company will guarantee that water is clean. So from hydrostatic testing to drain cleaning. It's all there for you. Just call them at 281-488-6238. Get yourself a free price quote. You don't know what the deal is, but you don't want to be charged for them trying to figure it out. They'll get you a free quote and set you up at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So the company line continues. We played sound from Nick Caserio about Joe Mixon. D'Amico Ryans was asked about it. And the question was, is your expectation that Joe Mixon will play this year? Said, our expectation is we'll go one day at a time. And when he's back, he'll play. So they continue to protect the player. Okay, that's where we are. When he can play, he can play, and then the Texans will let us know. Somehow, off that conversation, we got into, because D'Amico played at Alabama, but he never played for Nick Saban, but I'm sure he's been back when Nick Saban was there, and he's got, at this point, a very Nick Saban approach to the Joe Mixon thing. Pretty much, at this point, quit asking about it. Like Joe Mixon told to Maria Taylor, I think, when the Tua Jalen Hurts thing was going on early in the season after they won a national title with Tua replacing Jalen Hurts in that game against Georgia. He pretty much told her, I think he actually said, quit asking.
Yeah.
So D'Amico's at that point now when it comes to the Joe Mixon talk. He just appreciated if the questions stopped coming. Earlier in the week, we talked about how Saban's assistants had to call him daddy, or maybe they didn't have to, but they decided to call him daddy. One Saban assistant we didn't even mention was Bill O'Brien. We are of the belief that Pete Golden called Nick Saban daddy.
Yeah, I mean, that's reported.
Yeah, by he Seth did. Wickersham. He did call him daddy. Next, Seth Wickersham and that appearance on a podcast let us know. Did Bill O'Brien call Nick Saban daddy at any point?
Like we talked about, like if you...
He's a northerner.
Yes. A, not being a southerner, and B, having a... I guess a career, like having a, if you ever had a better job than the job that you now have, I doubt that you called him daddy. I think it was the guys who came up under Saban and were, you know, receivers, linebackers, defensive back coaches that rose their way up to defensive coordinators and head coaches. And those, especially Southerners, those guys were the ones that I would suspect called him daddy. I literally just cannot imagine Bill O'Brien doing that. I can imagine Bill O'Brien being in the same room as someone who did that and him not like giving him a nasty look.
Yeah, the mass hole. from Dorchester, Boston, Massachusetts.
Call that guy?
He's not calling. He's from Massachusetts. He's not calling Nick Saban daddy. No way. He'll beat up a quarterback like Brock Osweiler. He's not calling Nick Saban daddy, a guy he's taller than.
Yeah. No.
There's a line. I don't think that's happening. So what would it sound like if Brian T. Smith, hey, coach, Seth Wickersham appeared on a podcast, the Paul Torrey Finds Out podcast, and told us that Saban assistants called him daddy. Did you?
Doesn't matter, Brian. But AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
What does that have to do with the
doesn't matter what it looked like. Back coach. In the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yes, you did. But what about the question I asked?
Doesn't matter, Brian.
Okay. Got it. Okay, coach. Got it. I wish this information had come out when he was still in
town.
Doesn't
matter, Brian. Beat FSU last year. But they're a 2-win team. Doesn't matter what it looked like.
That's right. We beat them. That's right. Yeah, we went on the road and beat FSU. Doesn't matter what it looked like. You're right. Okay. Yeah, I got to agree. No chance he did it.
It's hard to believe.
It's so out of character. I just need the question to have been asked to see what he says. Come on, Boston College media. Someone up there has got to ask him that question, right?
Yeah, I imagine it's such a small beat that you can't get that off.
Probably right. You're probably right.
I mean, no one's asked anyone else
you think,
about this.
Yeah, true.
I think we have taken more of a...
interest in it than other people?
Interest and investigation.
How could this not be the biggest story in college football right now?
Well,
that you've got head coaches littering the SEC who were... allegedly calling Nick Saban daddy.
I think it's tough because if you're on the Texas or Miami beat and you're like, okay, we're whatever, 3 or 4 days away from
Notre Dame
or Ohio State game. And, oh, we have a Monday availability with Coach. Am I going to use my time to ask him?
You can get more than one question in.
Maybe, but I'm not, you know, I'm not Kirk Bowles. I'm not Brian David. I'm not Cedric. I don't know if I'll
get a
question.
But in Miami, you're in a big city. Like, you're working for a big newspaper, some of them. You're not Mario Cristobal. I guess he could try to pull your credential, but I don't think you'd do that to the Herald. I think you can get that question off if you work for the bigger paper. I get it if you work in Athens, where Kirby can control that. Like, if you work in Athens and they're getting ready for Marshall, can you ask if Kirby called Nick Saban daddy?
But I think that they're playing Marshall. Like, there's less, actual questions you have.
I understand there's more room to ask that question. It's not a big game, but you're also playing in a – you're living in a world where the biggest thing in the area is Georgia football. Yeah. You cannot get knocked off that beat. Yeah. You cannot have the SID come up to you and go, okay.
Who's Florida playing?
I don't know who they're playing.
I guess Gainesville's also small.
Yeah, it's
enough.
A small
– But it's Billy Napier.
Does he have the power? He's not in a position.
They're going to fire
DJ Lagway win
fire
more games
him in October.
Yeah, let DJ Lagway win more games, and then maybe he'll have the power to pull your credentials.
Was Shane Beamer a Alabama assistant? I feel like he was. I don't know. I don't know. He just seems like he was. I don't know, other than, I guess, his last name, why else he would be a head coach.
He was not an Alabama assistant. He did spend a lot of time in the SEC up until the point when he got a head coaching job.
Okay.
But it was mostly at Miss State in South Carolina.
Okay.
Did spend a year – actually spent like 4 years under his dad at Virginia Tech, but no.
I can't – because I think Shane Beamer is the, guy you could ask that question to.
I don't know. He's got Lenore Sellers. Maybe he's at a spot where you don't get that question off. They're supposed to be a good team. Thought they should have been in the playoff last year, despite going 9-3. So, I don't know, man. I think it's just something that has to be asked, but I don't think it ever will.
Soft.
Hey, Lance, can you come here for a second? I'm actually not going to put you in a bad spot for once. So
I don't think any of those people are going to end up surviving from that zombie attack.
Oh, you're watching. Lance just found out about Last Train to Busan because he ain't a real one. He just found out about it.
No.
So we talked about saving assistants. Having to call him, well, not having to, but they decide to call him daddy.
Has that been
Pete Golding? Seth Wickersham said Pete Golding did it. He put a name on it.
Video or audio of this happening?
Well, we talked about it. If we did, none of those guys would be head coaches. If Sark had been caught on video calling Saban daddy, Texas is never hiring him.
He'd have been canceled.
So it didn't pop into our head when we had the first discussion. Bill O'Brien was an assistant.
But is this no chance?
That's what we said. We said there's no chance he called him daddy.
There's no chance. Wait, was it a joke? Like, Nick Saban didn't ask people
no,
to do
they
that.
Just decided to start calling him that.
As a joke, like.
I don't know why they did it.
As a joke. Well, I wouldn't do it as a joke.
What's funny when you call another grown man daddy? What's so funny about it? And if you're from the South, you're daddy?
I know somebody said, no, in the South people do that. Like, what?
Yeah, they do that. Grown men call their daddy
what
daddy.
What part of the South?
I don't know what part.
Not the Bill O'Brien part.
Well, Bill O'Brien's there. He's a mass hole. He's not calling anyone daddy.
He's a red mass.
But could you see him in the same room while he's standing there and Saban's giving
What did you say? Where somebody calls him daddy?
Yeah.
He would have lost his mind.
Like, if he's in there, and we talked about it, there ain't no way Mel Tucker called him daddy.
No.
There's no way. There's a certain line you don't cross. Mel Tucker's not calling him daddy.
Black coach calling white coach daddy.
That's not what you're doing.
That's not. Of all the coaches.
Bobby Williams.
You know, I did wonder why some of those coaches got rid of some of those coaches when they were like Brent Key.
He blamed it on recruiting. He wanted better. Do you think it was because they all refused to call him daddy and they had to go?
Well, I wonder now.
These are questions.
Did Brent Key not? I mean, he had a really good offensive line and then he was gone. Did he not call him daddy?
I don't think Cristobal did it. I don't think.
Have you ever called John daddy?
F no.
When I wasn't here?
Why would you not being here make me call him that?
Well, I didn't know if that was
you
a
think
thing
I was
y'all
hiding
had
it from you.
Well, I didn't know if that was a thing y'all
what
had
thing?
Before
what
Me Too
thing?
Movement happened.
What thing? I'm not a woman. What do you mean the Me Too movement?
I didn't know
movement?
If John Me Too'd you.
What?
Because he made you call him daddy. I didn't know.
John can't make me call him daddy.
Okay.
Stop it. Once again, I'm the Mel Tucker here. I'm not calling him daddy, but John's not making me call him daddy. That's weird. Mario Cristobal wouldn't do it. I don't see a Cuban man from South Florida calling him daddy.
No, Mario Cuban would. Mario Cristobal no would chance. Not do that.
But why isn't this a more talked about story? Why aren't guys on the beat in all these places asking these guys?
Scared?
Well, yes. They don't want to get their credential pulled.
Yeah, and they don't want Saban. They don't want Saban getting mad at him either.
No, don't ask Saban.
Now, if somebody's going to bring it up,
Pat McAfee should bring it up on game day.
Pat McAfee will bring it up.
He should bring it up on game day.
I understand they call you daddy. Should I call you daddy? He'll do something like that.
Sark is at Ohio State. Someone's got to ask him. But Sark's from what? He's a California from? I know he played at BYU. Where's he from?
Did Jimbo call him daddy?
Jimbo's a Southern. West Virginia, right? He probably called him that. Jimbo talks fast.
They're talking real fast. Yeah.
Yeah, did it?
Hey, I think we did a real good job. I got a commitment from that five-star, Danny. So we're going to see what happens.
That's where it came from. That was the excerpt. Pete Golding in recruiting Arch Manning, when he mentioned that Sark was a drinker. And he goes, and he was under pressure because daddy's on me. Because he said, daddy's on me. I gotta go all out.
Golly. It should be a bigger story. It's an uncomfortable story.
These are questions that gotta be asked.
It's an uncomfortable story. I cannot believe more people are.
What are we doing here?
How did that not turn into a major thing?
They
on
are
the
across the country coaching some of the biggest programs in the country, and no one's gonna ask one of these guys.
They all want this to go away, but the deep state is gonna make it go away. That's right, Daddy.
The liberal media won't ask the questions we're looking for.
I tell you what, I think there's a lot of the South that doesn't want this story to go big.
A lot of coaches don't, like Kirby. You think Kirby doesn't
want this to get big?
You think the Georgia people, all the celebrating they're doing?
Or Georgia Tech. They got two former Saban guys.
None of them want that out there.
Uh-uh.
That's unfortunate.
Kyle Flood.
Should be the biggest story.
Texas Longhorn offensive line coach there.
The NCAA should investigate. Actually use your powers for good. Let's find out. And if you did do it, recruiting violation.
I never said that.
But a violation.
I never said it to Daniel Jeremiah.
Why would you do that?
Well, just because he does TV and I just do .com.
Well, you kind of are his son. He kind of is your daddy.
I don't do it. My kids don't even call me daddy. They just say dad.
You know, maybe not Jeremiah. You're kind of contemporaries. I know who you call daddy.
Yeah, Mel Kiper's daddy.
Yeah, you called Mel Kiper daddy. He is the daddy.
Hey, daddy, what do you think about my evaluation, daddy?
Yes.
You got to do it in a southern voice.
You got to. That makes it better. Come on, man.
This guy from Baltimore.
This got to get done. Maybe later in the season. Nah, the story's going to be over. It's going to be football to talk
about.
That
story's an evergreen story to me.
For me? Yeah. For me, it is.
I'm going to ask other people. I don't think people know that story.
Ask the guys you know. Ask the guys around. You know a lot. The Joe Moore Committee. Ask some of those guys.
Alec, actually, he works at Alabama, and... But a lot of the guys are DeBoer guys.
Yeah,
I'm going to see if there's anybody who was there when Saban was there. Oh, I can't ask that guy. He's too serious. There's one guy there I know a little bit, but I don't know him well enough to ask that question. And he came from Tennessee over to Alabama. So.
And D'Amico was never – he didn't play for Saban. He wasn't a coach for Saban.
He was a Price guy.
Yeah, so he wouldn't have been around an assistant who might have done it. Oh, man, you got connections around. You got to start asking questions, man. And then
I'm gonna ask the general manager at Georgia. I'm gonna say, you ever heard of did Kirby ever talk about this?
Did Kirby ever talk about how
it's off the record?
Yeah. I mean, it's us.
I was just gonna tell Dell off mic.
Yeah, this one of the guys at the station really wants to know. All right, thanks, Lance, for stepping in. Appreciate it, Lance Zierlein. Everybody, you can hear him tomorrow from the Golden Nugget. You can hear the entire not the entire lineup, but from 7 to 12, we're gonna be at the Golden Nugget
the entire morning.
That's right. We're going to be at the Golden Nugget starting tomorrow. We'll do a show on Friday, too. We're there for the draft, our fantasy draft. We gave away spots. We appreciate all the interest in that. And we have our teams. John had to get another email so he can get back in the league because he didn't accept Joe's email and then deleted the email.
Are we all filled up? I actually didn't.
Yeah, I think John's the only one who doesn't have a team name yet. Maybe he's done it since the show ended. My name is Marino's Isotoners. Yours is what, Sean?
No, it's just Team Apes.
Oh, Team Apes.
You haven't
done it yet?
No.
Yeah, we have a Bills BBL smell as a team name. Lance is Schnitzels, so we got some. We're gonna meet those guys.
Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow. Yeah, it is. We are. It is just Granada. That's not.
All right. So it'll be a fun time.
Push comes to shove, I'll figure it out. I'll be IT for them when we get there.
IT, just accept an invitation through an email, John.
As he's sitting there holding his phone farther away from his head.
Have you seen that thing? the magnification on the letters.
Oh, on John's?
On his phone.
No, I haven't seen John's.
It's ridiculous.
I've seen my parents, who are around the same age as John's.
Yeah, so. It's nuts. All right, I did mention this, and I did get distracted because the daddy story is just going to mess with me until
does
I get
Willie
answers.
Fritz calling? Does anyone call Willie Fritz daddy?
I hope not.
I mean, next week.
They can ask a question.
Mike See if they're about that business.
Wait, Mike Elko worked under Jimbo.
So Jimbo was a Saban assistant in LSU.
It started at Bama, though, so yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that would work.
You're right about that.
Or I don't know if, you know, it just doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, because it appears that Nick Saban wasn't the one who told them to call him daddy. They started that themselves.
I do think that when you win 6 national championships, like, people get a little weird about what they call you in a college town.
That's true.
Especially in Alabama.
Probably. Yeah. You're probably right about that.
I think after like title 3, they're like, you start becoming more than a man.
Yeah, a legend. A living legend.
Yeah.
Who's still active
or
coaching.
Daddy?
At least for Pete Golding. That's confirmed.
Pete Golding. I mean, we've talked about this so much, and I feel like every 10 minutes that we talk about, we come up with a new angle on this.
Sure.
Do you think it's something that only Pete Golding did, but he told Seth Wickersham, no, we all do it. So he seems less like a weirdo.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Because Pete Golding, you know what he doesn't have in common with a lot of the other guys we've mentioned? He's not a head coach. He was an Alabama defensive coordinator that just never became a head coach.
Yeah, he wasn't of much acclaim before Saban elevated him to that spot.
So. Yeah, and then he took the DC job at Ole Miss.
Yeah, so to your point.
And I forgot where he's at now.
You may be right about it's a Golden thing and he's trying to attribute it to other people.
He's just like, oh, no, that's a thing we did, Seth.
But he would have had to have let it slip. Why are you telling that to begin with? It's embarrassing.
And that's just what he calls Saban. So he goes, sorry, I was under pressure from daddy.
Daddy's on me. All right. You mentioned Willie Fritz, who I will assume has never called another grown man who coaches daddy. Let's give away a pair of tickets to watch his team play right now. First caller. Well, first one who's in.
Yeah, this is
first
for the radio folks.
Yeah, whoever wants them, gets them. It's the Cougs versus Stephen F. Austin. We got a pair of tickets to give away. The Cougs start their second season under the aforementioned Willie Fritz. 713-780-3776 is that number. Watch the Cougs. Should be a good year for them. Some buzz around that team as they get going for their second season under a program builder.
If they start 6-0, will you ask a question on the morning show and call them daddy?
You know what I'm not going to do? If I'm not calling John daddy, I'm certainly not calling Willie Fritz daddy. 713-GO-COUGS is the number if you don't get tickets from us, this show, or the couple shows that follow us, the Paul Gallant Show or the Killer Bees. They're going to give away tickets as well. So 713-GO-COUGS is that number. Or go to uhcougars.com/tickets. Get ready for that thrilling night of plays, hard-hitting action, and unforgettable moments. It's time for Cougar football. Nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar of the crowd at a Houston Cougar football game. So exciting times for the Cougs. Let's see them in action. Let's get started with a win over the Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks. Wear red. I mean, if you're a Stephen F. Austin fan, sure, go to the game. But also, we want the Cougs there being supported by other Cougs. All right, we're done for the day. The Paul Gallant Show is up next. He's followed by the Killer Bees. And I would ask Sean, what does that mean? But he's on the phone, so we're going to wait a little bit. Put him in a tough spot. So what do we know? Texans still making moves. They brought back Harrison Bryant after releasing him. We'll see who they claimed or did not claim off of waivers, and we'll see what other moves they make, as the 53 isn't strictly solidified as of yet. We got Astros, Rockies. Tonight, got Fromber on the mound. Let's hope that he flips what has been a disappointing script the last month plus. He's not been good. Let's change that. Let's not leave Jason Alexander to save the series and just get one to avoid being swept. I don't want to be in a spot where we're talking tomorrow about Jason Alexander helping us avoid a sweep or in a position to do that. Let's have Fromber win tonight, or at least contribute to a win. Then we can try to take the series with Jason Alexander. So, Sean, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
Yeah, daddy, do you? We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll be right back.
listening to ESPN 97.5.